Good morning. How are you? Have you tried to live so that you might be a blessing for others last week, this week? Tried? I tried. Keep trying. And last week we were at Colossae with Tychicus and Onesimus with a letter in their hand from Paul to Philemon so that he might reconcile Onesimus. Now, today we will look, last time we looked at Onesimus, how gospel transformed Onesimus and how gospel can transform even us. Now today we will look into two other key characters of this epistle, Philemon, that is one Philemon and Apostle Paul. And before we go into that, last week, as you remember, we talked more about how gospel transforms us. How gospel can transform us. The power of the gospel. But not gospel itself. So I think it is better for us to also know what is gospel. As Christians, what is gospel? We should be able to articulate gospel if someone questions us. What is gospel? What does Bible say about gospel? You remember in Luke chapter 2, the angels to the shepherds, they said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news," this is gospel, "of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The gospel which gives great joy is the news about Jesus Christ. You remember in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, Paul says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles by faith, he preached gospel beforehand to Abram, that in you all the nations will be blessed." In you all the nations will be blessed. He is talking about Jesus Christ. How through Jesus Christ all the nations are going to be blessed. So the news about Jesus Christ is gospel. And more explicitly, if we have to describe the gospel, we see Paul describing it in 1 Corinthians 15. There is 1 Corinthians 15. We looked last week, a couple of verses, but we will look more deeply. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 1, I'm going to read till verse 7. "Now, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." This is the gospel. The life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and ascension of Jesus Christ is gospel. How the news about gospel, how the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus is gospel. What makes the news about Jesus so good is this, that the life that you and I supposed to live and failed is substituted by the life that Jesus lived, the righteous, holy life is substituted. And the sins that we committed has been paid by Christ on the cross. And since he paid it all, there is no other sin to be punished. He was resurrected on the third day. And now ascended into heaven, assuring that we will be accepted in heaven when we repent and believe in this gospel. You can also appropriate this gospel by repenting and believing it now. And those who repent and believe in Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed to us. And our sin is given to Christ Jesus. And we will be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And you will be a child of God. Children of God. And children imitate their fathers. And today we are going to look how gospel transformed Philemon and Paul, and how when they got an opportunity to imitate their father, how they imitated. So today this is the sermon. We as a children of God should imitate God, especially in forgiveness. We should imitate God in forgiveness. That is the epistle. Paul is writing, this is a personal letter. You don't see any doctrine. Paul dealing with doctrine. He is applying the doctrine that he preached. Writing personally to Philemon. Philemon, forgive Onesimus. Restore him. That is the letter he is writing. He is imitating Christ. Interceding for Onesimus. And Philemon also has an opportunity to forgive. So he has to imitate. So we should also imitate as the children of God, especially in forgiveness. And we will see two ways how can we imitate God in forgiveness, Christ-like forgiveness today, from verses 14 to 19. Last week we looked into verses 10 to 13. We will look into 14 to 19 now. But I will read from verse 8 because we will get the context. From verse 8 to 20, it's all about a plea of Paul so that Philemon might restore and reconcile Onesimus. So we'll read from verse 8. I'm reading from ESV. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the blood. Sorry, in the Lord. Both in the flesh and in the Lord. We'll see how to imitate God. First way, from verses 14 to 16, that is just like a son of God. As I earlier mentioned, those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ, they are called sons of God. And we being Christians, sons of God, we should also imitate God. We should be like a son of God. Now, from 14 to 16, if you see, Paul is asking Philemon, saying, receive him. He says in verse 14, I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion. What is the goodness that Philemon should do? That to restore Onesimus. That is the goodness he is talking about. That should not be by compulsion, but should be voluntarily. And then he says, maybe, perhaps this is why he was parted from you. So that you might have him forever. So that you might restore him. So forgive Onesimus and receive him. That's what Paul is asking. Now here we are seeing Philemon getting a chance to imitate his father by forgiving. Just like a son of God. Paul is saying, forgive because God has forgiven you. And receive Onesimus, Philemon. That's what Paul is saying. Imitate God. If you remember, both Colossians and Philemon are written and given at the same time to Titicus. So they might have already read Colossians, in which Paul already mentioned in Colossians chapter 3 verse 12, he says, As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as Lord forgave you, you should also. They might have already read. Philemon might have already read. He has now the motivation to forgive Onesimus. That is, God has forgiven you. Now this is your chance now. You forgive Onesimus. You imitate God. You be a son of God. What would you do if you are Philemon? Is there anyone, one person in your life that you have to forgive? And what will you do? Will you imitate God or not? It's up to you. We need to check ourselves. And you know, you can do many good things in the church. You can come to church regularly. You can give 90%, not tithe, 90% of your income. And you can serve in the church. Yet, if you hold the grudge against your brother, that's not going to pay back. God is not going to encourage you in the family. And we see two portraits of a son of God from verses 14 to 16. Two portraits. First one is to be ready to forgive. As I earlier mentioned, we should be ready to forgive. That's what God did to us. He was ready to forgive. You remember in Psalms 86:5, Psalmist says, "For you are a Lord, a good and ready to forgive. More than that you think of repenting, God is ready to forgive." Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all the bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgiven you." Daniel 9:9 says, "To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him." Psalms 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." You know, the motivation for us to forgive others is the forgiveness that we received. If you are forgiven, you will forgive. You might say, "Daryl, he didn't repent. How can I forgive? Did you let him know that first he offended you?" You remember in Matthew chapter 18:15, Jesus says, "If your brother sinned against you, go and confront him personally, privately. You just talk to him. If you think I am being rude to you, call me privately and tell, 'Daryl, why didn't you respond to me? You personally talk to me, and then I will say, maybe, sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.' And if you don't confront, how would I know that I offended you? How would a person know that he offended you? When will you get a chance to reconcile? When will you get a chance to forgive? And if he doesn't repent, then you talk to two other brothers. And if not, you take to the church. That's the process that Christ taught us in Matthew chapter 18. But remember, in all that, Jesus said one thing. This is so that you might gain your brother. Not to correct his sins, not to point his sin, but so that you might have the fellowship that you lost with your brother. So that you might gain the brother. Confronting is also so that you might have the love relationship that you had earlier. If Paul has to write a letter to you today, if Paul would have known something, definitely he would write a letter. He publicly writes. You remember to Philip when he wrote an epistle to Philippians also, two ladies, publicly he wrote. Who is that one person in the family, maybe not in the church, maybe workplace, wherever it is, that you are still holding the grudge? You just have to let go. We don't have right to hold the grudge. Remember, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If you are reluctant to forgive, you are asking vengeance. J. Adams said this in his small booklet, Forgiven to Forgiveness. If you are reluctant to forgive, then you are asking for vengeance. And vengeance is mine, says Lord. Romans 12, we see that. We should forgive. We have no rights to hold the grudge. And the second portrait that we see to be a son of God is that we should be ready to reconcile. He says in verse 15, he says, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him forever. He is talking at the providence of God. Paul is showing how God providently separated. He did not say Philemon ran away. He is talking from God's angle. God separated so that you might have him forever. See, forgiving is leaving the grudge, but the reconciling is the next step, action, having him as a brother, having him completely reconciling, being one, as Christ made us one together with one another and God. So Paul is asking, have him as a brother. He says in 16 also, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. Onesimus is a slave, first and foremost thing. Second, he is a thief and he ran away. In the first century, if someone, a slave, runs away from his master, you know, there are special police forces, you know, not police forces, literally, there's some groups. They literally are back of runaway slaves. And then they catch them and then they will restore. And when they find out, it's up to the master. They will be branded with a tattoo and all that they are, what the mistake they did, they will be tattooed. And then also, if necessary, they will break their bones. And if master doesn't like, he would even kill the person. That's what Philemon is supposed to do. It's not sin for him. I mean, it's not illegal. He can do. He has the rights to do because he owns him. Philemon owns Onesimus. Now he can punish him when he is returned. But Paul is not saying, just forgive him and then let him work in your house as a slave. No, he is not a slave anymore. He is your brother. That is a tough thing. When someone offends you, forgiving is another thing, but reconciling is a tough thing. The place where I stay, PTS building, we have a maintenance guy, the one who is responsible to take care of the building, and then some problem happened, water is leaking. Within 3 days, the tanker, 7,000 liter, 10,000 liters of water is being wasted. We are very few people. So I complained him. I asked him to check. And then he was very angry because I pointed out. And then he started yelling at me. So first I thought, he asked me to show where I tried. We went to third floor and then I opened the taps. I came. And they're still yelling. And then I lost my patience. I also said, It's your responsibility. If you know, you find the fault and then deal with it. I'm leaving. I can't waste my time. And then I just went to study. Then later I repented. I should have been kind to him. Even though, of course, he doesn't know the Lord. Even if he yells, I should have been kind to him. And then I prayed, I asked forgiveness. And the next day I prayed that Lord will have that forgiveness, reconciliation. And I saw him washing the hands. I took courage in the Lord and I said, Brother, thank you for bringing a plumber, for trying to solve the problem. 1 minute, he paused. And then again he came. He said, Daryl, if you want help, you know, you can get a water tanker free from government. You know, I can give you the number. All this said, he said, hey, again, I'm sorry. I yelled at you. I had so much of, you know, work burden on my mind. So I was disturbed. So I yelled at you. Forgive me. He is a non-believer. A very rash guy. He said, forgive me. Now we have wonderful fellowship. When he comes, I can say, hi, hello, how are you? Earlier, we never did that. He asked, how are you? You know, when did you came last night? Are you well? He asked many things. Now we have a better relationship. It just take one step to forgive and let go. I didn't feel it to do, but I have to do. So I pushed myself, asked God help, and then now I have a good relationship. I don't know with whom you have problem. What difficult relation can you deal to heal by calling them for home? Give hospitality, invite them home, reconcile with someone you have problem with. Forgive and reconcile. You know what? Last week we talked about transformation power of the gospel, and many are excited. Many have wanted to be transformed and consistent in Christ, want to be like Christ. And this is the time that you can be like Christ. You can be like God. Imitate God. That is by forgiving and reconciling. You just have to let go the grudge. That is the first way that we can imitate God as a son of God. And the second way, the way we can imitate God, we see from verses 17 to 19, that is just as a son of God. I also want to read some references so that we might be motivated to reconcile, looking at how Christ reconciled us. From 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is Paul who is talking. Christ has reconciled us. That is the motivation for us to reconcile. And remember in Luke chapter 15, how Father reconciled his son. The son, he didn't even come home and say single thing from his mouth. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. That is how God has forgiven us. How much more we should forgive. That is only the motivation for us to forgive. And the second way, as I said, to imitate God, we see it from verses 17 to 19, that is just like the Son of God. The Son of God, Christ Jesus. 17, this, now here we see Paul's picture. Paul saying, if you consider me as your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Now Paul, being a Christ here, he is interceding for Onesimus. He is saying, if you consider me as a partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. This is how Christ interceded for us. He is being a son of the Son of God. Now, let me explain. As I say, God, the Son of God, I'm not saying this epistle is a likeness or a picture of gospel. Just saying, they got an opportunity to imitate God. I'm not saying that here Paul is God or Christ. I'm not saying that. They got an opportunity to imitate God. They got an opportunity to imitate like Christ. So Paul here got an opportunity to imitate like Christ, and he is following it. He is encouraging Philemon to reconcile. He is interceding. Like Christ. But who is Christ? If you ask anyone in this world to say something about Jesus Christ, they will say one thing, that he died on the cross. Right? So to be a true disciple of Christ, we should also, and people expect us also, to carry the cross. And Jesus did commanded us, follow me, carry the cross, deny yourself. And we are supposed to carry the cross, killing the self. You see Paul here, the same, he says, I am your partner. He is the apostle who wrote 13 epistles, who planted churches around the globe. And he says, I am your partner with Philemon. And he says, as you would receive me, you receive Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave and was a thief. And now Paul is saying, I am same with Onesimus. He is saying, we are equal. There is no difference. We are all equal. Because we are all equal in Christ. He, like Christ, remember, because of the work that Christ has done on the cross, we are fellow heirs with him. Christ chose us to be like us. He became human. Now Paul is also becoming like Christ, humbling himself and then coming to their level and saying, I am also same, equal. Receive Onesimus. He is also like me. And we'll see two portraits of the Son of God. Sorry, of the Son of God. That is to be a peacemaker. Paul is being a peacemaker here. He asks to have peace. Onesimus, Philemon, have peace. He is coming forward. If two people are fighting, if you know at least in the church that two people have problem, would you try to solve? Paul is taking pain for that. You know what he says? I will repay. You receive him as you receive him. He is recommending him. I am the guarantee. He is taking a charge. He is being a peacemaker. As Jesus told in Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who are peacemakers. They will be called as sons of God. Paul is being that. Should be peacemakers. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is through Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Christ is a peacemaker. We should imitate Christ. You know, last week's sermon was very exciting because we want to be transformed. We want to be like Christ. This is the time when we become like Christ. If you want to be transformed, if you want to be like Christ, this is what we have to do. We have to be peacemakers. Don't say it's not my job. You know, if someone comes with you with a complaint on a brother, you ask them to reconcile. Don't encourage the discussion. If someone comes a complaint against Daryl, tell them, you go talk to Daryl first. Reconcile this thing. You be a peacemaker. And if it costs you something, you be ready. Be a peacemaker. Paul is a peacemaker. Christ is the greatest peacemaker. And the second portrait that we can see of the Son of God is that He is a substitute. We should be the substitute. You know, Paul, he says, verse 18, he says, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my very own heart. I will repay it. I will repay. Slaves are costly, definitely. Now, Paul, by asking him to receive him as brother, and he is saying, forget the property. And of course, he was a thief. He robbed something that he has to restore. So Philemon can forgive, okay, let go. But he has to pay back. Paul is saying, I will pay. He is taking the pain. Paul, the apostle, he is writing for a slave. We can't understand now, but if you think as a first century person, this is huge. I will pay. That's what Christ did. He is God. He became man and then lived in this dirt. The dirt of sin, not of mud. The sin. We're filled with sin. And He lived among us to pay the sin that you and I committed. He took the blame. Are you ready to take the blame? Paul is saying, I'll take the blame. Are you ready to take the blame? At home it happens all the time. And I am guilty as well, with brothers, with parents. I told you to invest there. I told you not to do this. I told you to study in that college. I told you to... We blame others. This is a silly thing. But we make big... We break relationships. At home, at workplace. Even at church. We blame others. Are you ready to take the blame today? Christ took our blame. Paul is being a substitute. You remember Joseph's story? Judah. When the brothers, when they came for food, grains to Joseph in Genesis chapter 44, this is what Judah does. Judah goes and says to Joseph, for your servant because became a pledge of safety for the boy to my father. I will briefly explain what happened. I know most of you know the story. Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob and was sold by brothers to Egypt. And now in Egypt he became a prince like Pharaoh, next to Pharaoh. And now the brothers are here in Egypt for food, asking help from Joseph. And they don't know that Joseph is their brother. But Joseph knows. So Joseph, he questions them about their identity and then about their family, everything. And then he says, bring your brother. Otherwise, I will not leave you. You are spies. So, I doubt you. Bring your brother and prove your authenticity. And then Judah says, my father already lost a son. And now, if this boy is also lost, my father will go to the grave with sadness. And I don't want that to happen. And I pledged in front of my father that I will take the blame. So now Joseph, my lord, he says, Judah comes forward and says, leave this boy and take me, your servant. Do whatever you want. But please leave this brother. he intercedes. And then Joseph realizes that they repent for that sins, and then he goes away, and because he can't hold tears and weeps, and then comes back and he says, I am your brother that whom you have sold. And you know what he says about the forgiveness? Don't fear. Am I in God's place to judge you? Judah there became a substitute, as Christ became our substitute. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Romans 5:6, he says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the heart of the gospel, John MacArthur says. This is the heart of the gospel, that the life of Christ, the holy life, righteousness, imputed to us, and the sin is imputed on him. This exchange, this business happened. What the business Paul is doing here, the same business happened. If he had wronged you, keep in my account. I will pay you. That's what Christ did. If Daryl sinned, Lord, I will pay back. That's what God did on the cross. He substituted. He substituted for you. Today, as children of God, we should also be like the Son of God, Christ Jesus, forgiving, compassionate, kind. When I was in engineering college, I was not a Christian. Then when I became Christian, later I met one pastor, and he was asking about my details, and then I told him I studied in so-and-so college. And he said, oh, which batch? I told him, yeah, it's 05. Oh, which branch? Computer science. Okay, one of our church member, he's in your same class, and he often preaches in our church, he said. Really? I didn't know that he's a Christian. It is so sad. Do your colleagues know that you are a Christian? Do you imitate God? You can be a Christian at church, but are you a Christian at workplace? If we are children of God, people should see us imitating God. That is when the transformation is happened. And this is what preaching gospel is. Last week I told, preach gospel to yourself. This is what gospel, preaching to yourself is. When you are tempted by sin, not to forgive, you preach to yourself gospel. Daryl, you are a sinner. Christ died for this sin. God forgave you. You should also forgive. You preach to yourself gospel. And when you are down, that you fail, I failed, you talk to yourself, you are not Christ. You will fail. Take courage. Stand up. Start again. You preach gospel to you. This is what preaching gospel to yourself. And that you should do till death. And then we will be transformed. And we will be a son of God. And our motivation is looking at God itself. Micah 7:8 says, who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sin into the depths of the sea. That is how God forgives us. How much should we forgive? Let us all try to imitate Christ with the power of the gospel, with the grace of God. We'll close in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much for your love. You have given your Son so that we might be your sons, adopted sons. And I pray for Cornerstone and myself that we will imitate you, Father, in forgiving others. We don't have any rights to hold grudge on anyone. Help us to forgive. As I pray, Lord, I pray that we will remember this truth all our lives and preach gospel to ourselves. I pray that we will be peacemakers. We will be substitute for others, taking the blame, being Christ, wherever we are, Lord. I pray that we will show Christ to others. I pray for myself and Cornerstone that we will be Christians who reflect the light of the gospel to this world. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.